future, talk radio will actually educate, inspire, and make you think. The future is now. Topics and music that affect your life from Universal Broadcasting Network. Tune in at ubnradio.com.
This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hey, lovers. Happy Wednesday. It's me, Damona, and we are here broadcasting live from Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood. It's a wonderful day for a dating makeover, isn't it, Producer Jay?
It is.
That's what we're going to cover today. Maybe it's time for you listening to have a dating makeover, and we're talking about how to make over your love life from the inside out and from the outside in. I have an amazing guest who will be with me today, Kim Seltzer. She's a therapist, a dating coach, and an image consultant. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of her accolades. I'll tell you more about it in a couple of segments. Plus, she's one of the featured guests on my free virtual summit, Decoding Your Modern Dating Dilemmas 2. And you can find out more about her and about the other experts and about what we're doing over at moderndatingsummit.com. Again, that's moderndatingsummit.com. But we're going to give you just a little taste of all the magic that's happening there right here today on Dates and Mates. By the way, I want to say hey, hey, hey to all of our new friends over at iHeartRadio who just started carrying Dates and Mates this week.
It's so cool.
It's so cool.
It's so cool.
We're excited to expand our reach and help more people with love in the modern world. So if you're listening on iHeart or iTunes or Stitcher or Spreaker or TuneIn, make sure that you are subscribing to the show. And by the way, I mean, I don't want to beg, but I ain't too proud to beg. It really helps us. If you leave a review, if you like this show, it really helps us to reach more people. So even I know it takes a couple minutes. It seems really simple, but it can make a big impact. And you might be able to change someone's dating life and maybe even your own. So go ahead and leave us some stars and a little review there on iHeart, iTunes, Stitcher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Producer Jay.
How's it going?
It's going well. It's dish time.
Is it dish time?
D's dating dish.
That's exciting.
You know I love online dating, right?
Of course.
I'm not the only one who... I'm just so happy that everyone else is figuring out that online dating is the best way to expand your dating options, even if you are a celebrity. So some news broke this week on Cosmopolitan that Kylie Jenner signed her eldest sister, Courtney, up for the dating app Bumble and created an online dating profile for her. So Courtney, as you guys probably know, if you have wasted your brain cells watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, has been with her partner, Scott Disick, who is the father of her three children. I thought she only had two children. I don't know when that other one came out.
No, yeah, there's a third one.
I stopped watching.
Right.
I had to regain my brain
cells. It's very, because I feel like you have to be in a little bit of a cave to not know about what's going on with the Kardashians, because it's like, I don't even watch the show.
I started to tune it out
like,
a little bit.
They're ubiquitous. Like you just can't get away from Kardashians.
I think I just didn't want to believe that she had a third child with Scott Disick. But they broke up. I did know that part. Mm-hmm. They did break up, finally. And she's single and ready to mingle. And so her sister was helping her out. This happens a lot. A lot of people don't want to do online dating, and then they have someone in their life that creates a profile. In fact, I just heard this from a friend who got divorced a few years ago, and I was like, how did you meet this guy? And it's funny, because the guy she met that she's been dating now since a couple months after her divorce is in her same social circle.
Wow.
But they met on Tinder because she had some friends over, and just for fun, they put up a Tinder profile for her. And she's in her 40s.
Wow, okay.
So anyone that's saying Tinder is not for anyone over 25, it's just a lie. And anyone who says that Tinder is just a hookup app, it's just a lie. It's what you make of it. And I think it's great that Courtney's on Bumble, especially because that particular site, the woman makes the first move.
Right.
So I think it's a good way for someone of that profile to be able to find love, because it's really hard. And we talked about this recently, about celebrities finding love and how hard it is for them to really connect with mm-hmm. someone who is dating them for them and not for their profile or their three children, their three overexposed celebrity children.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I think I was thinking maybe I should go back on Bumble. No.
You can't do a search or anything.
No, that's right. Doggone it.
On that one, you can't. Yeah.
Because that's the only Kardashian that I would consider.
Why? Why produce it?
I don't know. There's always been this, thing about, the Courtney.
You wouldn't consider Courtney. I mean, would consider Courtney.
Yeah, she's the only one that I would, that I feel like I would. Because she's kind of like the
one.
Oh,
there's always been this thing about Courtney.
Yeah, there's always been this thing. Hi, welcome to Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman.
Should we start over?
No, I guess because she's the one that is the least, camera, centered or whatever. Like, she actually kind of has, a real job. She does, the stores and all that kind of stuff. And couldn't care less about, it seems like, the limelight. Like, she can turn it on or off if she wants to. I don't know.
Okay, well, go on Bumble. She's there.
I was, but I thought everybody was fake, and I would probably think she was, too. Yeah. But that was just my experience. No.
I will say, I think the caliber of women on Bumble is very high.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I've always said. Don't you want to be the kind of woman, ladies at home, not you, Producer Jay, don't you want to be the kind of woman who is able to select the man that she wants to date? I've always said women should take initiative and make the first move, and now all the studies are catching up to what I've been saying for 10 years. I'm sorry, I'm sounding like a broken record. We should probably move on.
Next on dating dish topic.
Okay, Damona was right all along.
Right? We get it. No,
okay, well, this is something I did not know. Kyoto University conducted a study where they discovered that part of men's gray matter in their brains involved in risk-taking is more active in men interested in being mate poachers. And when I say mate poachers, I mean...
going after married women.
Yeah.
Women that are taken.
That dude on the side.
Right.
I find this very interesting. Like, we always say, are you wired for monogamy? Are we wired to be... to have multiple partners? And I find it interesting that science... Here we go again with science... Science is actually showing that some people are wired to not be monogamous, and some people are wired to just be jerks.
Yeah. Boo.
Boo.
I don't know, but I just feel like it seems like we can find the science to kind of support a lot of things that we want to support. Like, it's okay. Yeah, sure. Maybe their gray matter is more active, but what started it? Was it the chicken or the egg? Which one came first? Was it the fact that they are, that they became kind of prone to taking risks or associations and stuff like that, and that was cool, and then their gray matter activated? Or was it the gray matter activated first, and then they were like, oh, this is a risk. It's a thrill, blah, blah, blah.
It's a good point. And also, I don't know if you watched Last Week Tonight, but John Oliver did point out that we have a lot of studies that really are just created to make a point in a headline. But what I would say about this is I'm not sure it matters so much if it's chicken or egg. The thing that I find very interesting about this, and what I mean by chicken or egg, is I don't know if it's their behavior that caused the gray matter or the gray matter. But, okay, you got to understand. As long as Producer Jay is understanding, hopefully you guys at home can keep up. But it's interesting to me that there is a scientific difference in the brain activation or the brain chemistry between people who do that and people who do not. So whether it's caused by the behavior or it's a symptom of the behavior, I find it interesting just that biologically there is a difference. Because a lot of people say, oh, we're not wired for monogamy. I've been hearing this from a lot of, people in the modern dating sphere or just regular old people. We're just not wired for monogamy. That's not how biologically we should be. And I just think it's baloney. I think some people, I think everybody is wired differently. That's why I'm all about you choose what's right for you. First, you got to figure out what's right for you. Monogamy, I don't think monogamy is for everybody. I like it. Producer Jay might like it, but I don't know. Other people, it doesn't fit.
I see that. That's my way of just pleading the fifth. I acknowledge that this possibly is a thing. I will reserve my commentary I guess.
Reserve your commentary. There's more happening in the online dating app space. So we don't talk about the business side of dating all that much.
Right.
But I found this really interesting because of the app that that it revolves around. Tinder is suing an app called Threeunder. I think that's how you say it, or Threeunder. Threeunder. It's spelled 3UNDR. And they're saying, Tinder is saying that it's too close to Tinder and that there could be confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to first ask you, Producer Jay, what do you think Threeunder or Threeunder is all about? What do you think that they're trying to do? Because, of course, every app has to have a market.
I really don't know, but anytime you say three with anything, just a certain thing just pops into my
mind. Oh, it's 3NDR. It's not three. Okay, let me not confuse you.
Threeunder, maybe. Threeunder. I don't know.
It's the NDER that right, Tinder that, is obsessed that, with.
Yeah, but yeah.
And they okay, so is yeah, it three, it's three. It's three.
Is it polyamory?
It's polyamory. I don't know if it's polyamory specifically, but it's gives curious couples a way to explore options for opening up their relationships to a third person. I don't know if it is ongoing polyamory focus, but maybe just for one night. And so they're saying that there could be confusion in the marketplace. And Threeunder claims to have about 500,000 members already. And Tinder, they have 50 million members.
Hmm.
I'm not so sure that there's really that much confusion between what Threeunder does and Tinder does. Hey, and maybe if Tinder sees there's a market there, maybe they should start that up too.
Well, you know, the thing is like there is something to be said about piggybacking on somebody else's, you know, established brand, because it may not seem like a thing now. And then all of a sudden when people tend to associate, they're like, oh, I thought those were the same company or whatever. And it kind of brings in their validity that people kind of jump on board.
Let's not forget that before Tinder, there was Grindr.
Was it?
Grindr was first, and Grindr didn't sue Tinder.
So then Tinder knows.
And they had another one called Blender. Grindr had a hetero dating app called Blender.
That's interesting.
That didn't really work. And then Tinder, like, they tweaked it. And then.
So basically, Tinder knows the game. They know what they got to do because they came in and and took over. So they're trying to stop anybody else from doing what they did.
The funny thing is that they did this really weird social media exercise to combat the Threeunder people. So they created a hashtag called Tinder Suck My Socks.
Oh.
Encouraging their members to tweet pictures of their dirty socks because they're so busy they often forget to do their laundry. Because they said they're so busy with their startup. Which I don't really understand.
Don't either.
And I'm like, maybe this is like a threesome thing? I don't know. Because remember, my brain is wired for monogamy.
Right. I'm like, is this part of hookup culture or polyamory culture? Is there a dirty sock thing going on?
Oh, I don't know.
Listeners should tell us.
I know. I was going to say, if you know, tweet me at Damona Hoffman with the hashtag Tinder sucks my socks. Suck my socks. Tinder sucks my socks.
Oh.
And let me know, because I'm in the dark here. There's some things I don't know everything about.
Very interesting.
What are the socks for? Tweet me at Damona Hoffman. Hop on the chat roll. I'm going to hop on it right now. And we're going to take a little break. And I want to hear your questions, because I am going to answer some questions in Technically Dating at the end of the show. But first, we're going to talk to Kimberly Seltzer about how to give yourself a dating makeover right after this break. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, and we'll be back in just a moment. I'm TV dating expert Damona Hoffman, and I am so excited about my Modern Dating Summit this year. Decoding Your Modern Dating Dilemmas 2. I'm recording this video for you from the studio because I just finished another live broadcast on my radio show, and I realized that there are dating challenges coming up for the single women who listen to my show time and time again. Questions like, is it possible to make a real connection on Tinder and other dating apps? How can I weed through all of the duds online so I don't waste time on dates unless he has real potential? How do I take a relationship that's only happening over text and turn it into a real one? Is online dating turning all men into players who are unwilling to settle down? Are all of these questions coming up for you too? You see,
After meeting my husband online over a decade ago, I started coaching women on how to deal with online dating and new technology and modern dating dilemmas. And not only is this my work, but it is my passion to help other women find true love quickly and with as little stress as possible without having to compromise who they are. And that's why I've brought together my favorite experts in the love business to help you decode your modern dating dilemmas. I'll be interviewing Greg Barrett, the author of He's Just Not That Into You, along with his wife, Amira, Devin Simone, host of TLC's hit show, Love at First Swipe, New York Times bestselling author, Catherine Woodward Thomas, Jack Daniels, my co-host from the FYI TV show, Hashtag Black Love, TV dating expert, Charles J. Orlando, and many more leaders on love in the modern world who will help me answer these questions for you. Best part? It's all free. And you can attend this virtual summit from anywhere in the world, on your computer, on your tablet, or your phone. Plus, you will get a goodie bag with free gifts from many of our experts just for signing up to join us. But hurry, this event begins June 1st, and I don't want you to miss out on one single moment of the best modern dating advice around. Click the button below and sign up to attend Decoding Your Modern Dating Dilemmas 2, Modern Dating Summit. And I will see you online very soon.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. You guys just heard the exclusive promo for Modern Dating Summit, which Kim Seltzer, my guest, is a one of the featured experts on. So you guys can sign up for free. It's global anywhere you are. You can just sign up there at moderndatingsummit.com, and you can get access to all 18 of the interviews about love in the modern world. So without further ado, let me tell you about my guest, Kimberly Seltzer. She is the owner of Seltzer Style, and she's a makeover and confidence expert, a therapist and dating coach. She's based in LA, but she works with people all over the place, and she specializes in a unique combination of therapy and infield date coaching, NLP, and styling to help people with their confidence and their dating life. Those two things go hand in hand. She helps men and women update and discover their personalized image through wardrobe consultation, and she helps them buy clothes that fit their body type because what works for me might not work for Kimberly Seltzer. So you got to know what works for you, and she'll tell you exactly how to create a dating makeover for yourself right here on today's Dates and Mates show. Please give big smooches to Kimberly Seltzer. Hi, Kim.
Well, hello. That was such a nice greeting.
Well, you're such a nice guest. I had to roll out the red carpet for you.
Wow. I feel so special. Well, and it goes to show you when you feel pampered and taken care of, how energized you feel. And now I'm ready to take care of everybody else.
I'm so glad, because you have so much information in that brain of yours that we've got to unpack on today's show. So first of all, I like this concept of a dating makeover. And you work as a therapist, a makeover expert, and a dating coach with both men and women. And it's a very unique way to help people find love, but it's super important. So what are the warning signs? How does someone know, if they're listening today, that it might be time for them to think about having a dating makeover?
Oh, gosh, there's so many signs. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, people come to me when they are in a state of transition, when they're wanting to change in some capacity, and they just don't know how to get there. I think, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I got out of being a traditional therapist, is because although I loved talking, and you and I are talking, and it's great to talk and analyze to death, but, you know, what I found is that people would come into my office, they wanted to change, but they didn't know how to get there. And so intellectually they knew the things that they needed to do, but in order to take action and actually feel something so that change occurs was where I saw people getting stuck. So what I love about the whole makeover process, and it is truly an inside-out process, is that, you know, by changing one thing, it could be, your shoes, and, you know, changing out of the Birkenstocks into the heels, for instance, or putting on a dress and feeling fantastic, or looking at your body language and how, you know, getting rid of the resting bitch face, which is an epidemic I know today, and putting a smile on your face, like how you're showing up in the world and then getting reinforced for that elicits change. And there's been a lot of studies about it. It's not just me, oh, you know, put this fabulous dress on and everything will be fine. But there's something about that. There's a lot of research that shows when you put something on your body, when you're feeling good in your skin, and then also breaking patterns for yourself, that's when the magic happens.
I like creating magic. But I want to be real with people here, Kimberly, because I think a lot of women especially feel like they don't want to have to change something about themselves to attract a man. And they think, I want somebody to just love me as I am. And just because I put on a pretty dress or get my hair blown out, why does that mean that suddenly now I'm going to be considered more dateable? What do you say to that lady?
Yeah, and it's so funny because I get that all the time. Like, if a man doesn't like me for me, then F him. You know, I hear that a lot. And I really want to emphasize that it's not about changing who you are, but it's about packaging yourself in a way so that a man gets to know who you are, right? Like, if you look at just, say, the business world, and I use this metaphor a lot, and you have two packages laying in front of you, and the two packages have the same content, right? But one package is written in chicken scratch in a manila folder. The other one's nicely laminated, looks really professional. Most people are going to choose the nicely laminated ones because it is packaged well. And so, again, it's more bringing out the best in people. So not only is it about looking your best, but it's about feeling your best, because that is what shines through to the man. You know, at the end of the day, a man loves women who love themselves. That's truly what it is. And so I find that a lot of women who have their defenses up and saying, oh, you know, I don't want to change, it's more about, you know, kind of being stuck in this state of mind. And when you change a little bit here and you tweak a little bit there and they start seeing themselves in a different way, they walk different, and suddenly they're flirting. And, you know, a lot of what I teach people, too, is how to create like a magnetic kind of energy so that men do flock to you. And it truly is that inside out. It's not just about the look. It's about the feeling.
Mm-hmm. What about for guys? We talk a lot about women in style, but I know you work with a lot of men, too. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see men making in their dating style?
Oh, they have no style. Quite honestly, they don't realize how much we women pay attention to that. You know, there's a research statistic out there that says 55% of your dating success can be increased just based on what you put on your body, the clothes that you wear. That's not me talking. That is research. And I mean, that's powerful stuff if you think about, and guys love that when they hear, you know, if I could teach a guy to be more effective and efficient in their shopping, and they love those, the double E's, effective and efficient, they're all for it. They're like, if you can just like put some clothes on that's going to attract a lady, I'm all for it. So I love shopping with men and giving them some tips about their body type, what, you know, women find attractive. And let me tell you, I mean, Damona, you can speak to this too. Like, don't you, when you see a man that is well-dressed, it's an eye-catcher. You know, he feels put together, he looks put together, and a lot of women kind of tape that to success, which is interesting because, again, there's, you know, a mindset there. And so he also walks differently. He also walks into a date with more confidence. When I go shopping with a man, and I've had some amazing transformations, when the guy gets out of his pleated pants and baggy clothes and football jerseys and he comes out of the dressing room in this, like, slim fit kind of look with a nice jeans and a nice button-down shirt, he is walking differently, and the women are noticing him in the store, and suddenly he embodies that as he's walking, you know, just through life. Mm-hmm. So I love working with men.
Yeah, I will say, I think I've told this story before, but a good story never gets old, right, Producer Jay?
Right.
I can never remember what I've talked about on the show and what I've told my friends, and I don't know, but it's a good story, so I'm going to tell it anyway. So my husband when we first met, he was an aspiring writer. Now he's an employed writer, but he was aspiring at the time. He did not have much money, but he did have the know-it-all to the know-it-all, the wherewithal. He is also he does know everything. He's not a know-it-all, but he knows everything.
He knows a lot of things.
Right. So he packaged that, as you to borrow your word from earlier, and he bought like two or three really nice outfits from Banana Republic. He had no idea what went together. He just went in the store, pointed to the mannequin, and just said, "Get me that." So our first few dates, he dressed really well. And then the baggy jeans started coming out, like date four, and then the holy t-shirts. And finally, like a couple weeks into it, I finally said, "I have to ask you something. I need to know what happened with your wardrobe, because the first few dates, you were dressed totally differently than now." And he said, "I didn't have the money, so I just bought, like, those are my nice clothes, and basically this is what's left." And then I said to him, "Kim, I said, but here's the thing. You don't just have three outfits. You actually have like nine outfits, because when you mix and match, you can create a whole new look." And I'm not thinking, "Oh, I saw those gray pants before." You put on a different shirt and wear them with the gray pants. It's like you have a whole different look. So I think a lot of times people who have a limited budget think, "I can't do what Kimberly Seltzer is talking about. I can't go and change my whole wardrobe." But you can make a big change with just buying a few extra pieces, right?
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it truly is the case. Again, the first thing that I do is I teach people about their body type. That's half the battle, because a lot of money is wasted on buying the wrong things, and then they hang in the closet, and it crowds your closet. And so you may have a lot of cheap things in your closet, but what good is it if it doesn't look good on your body if you're not wearing them? Mm-hmm. So I much rather spend a little more money getting some nice pieces and just key essentials, like a good pair of jeans, a nice shirt, like if you're a guy, good button down, if you're a woman, a nice dress, and wear those in different ways. You know, you can really change up an outfit too with accessories. So you could have different shoes that go with dresses, and it could bring it down to a casual dress, and you can dress it up if you put on a pair of heels. There are definite ways to work, you know, to save money. And also, I like to shop in people's closets. It's very funny because I do these things called virtual makeovers, and people Skype in and we do this video chat, and I look in people's closets, and it's so funny because people get really comfortable. They start changing in front of me, and then I see what's really going on in the closet. And half the time, these people don't even know what they have already. So it's like almost, you know, reorganizing your closet and looking at key pieces that could go together in different ways that you never thought about. So, mm-hmm. Yes, there's definitely a lot of things you can do with that.
And I read that book, The Magic of Tidying Up, Marie Kondo. I'm probably butchering the name of the book. But
I haven't read that one.
The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. There you go. A lot of people don't even realize what's in there that they don't use. And when you have all that clutter, it mm-hmm. blocks yeah. you from being able to see the good stuff. And the funny thing about that book and about this process is that it's a metaphor for the rest of your life. When you have all this other crap cluttering up your life, you can't even see the good stuff that's in there. So it's a good idea to do a purge just, you know, annually or quarterly or however, to make sure that you're not holding on to all that other stuff. Because I'm sure that manifests these closets that you've looked in, Kimberly, that are
yeah.
bursting at the seams. I'm sure as a therapist, you saw that there are other things that people are holding on to in addition to their physical stuff.
How did you know that?
I've been doing this a long time.
No, you must know your stuff, Damona. No, it's true because, in fact, when I go to people's, and I do a shopping experience, I do a closet, I think to myself, I can't imagine not being a therapist because there are so many issues that come out of it, whether it's, you know, body image issues or things they're holding on to from the past. And you're right. There's a lot of clothes that are metaphors to people's lives, right? And so, and here's what I do, and this is like kind of a trick, a secret trick that I tell people when they're hanging on to things that maybe they can't get rid of, I tell them to create a memory box and put all those memories, like maybe it was the outfit that you wore on, you know, your first date with your husband, or maybe it was, you know,
I don't remember.
specific milestone.
I remember what he was wearing,
all kinds of stuff.
But I don't remember what I was wearing.
So
it's a good idea.
You don't? Oh, my God. See,
no,
I remember.
No idea.
People remember this stuff because, like, it's an association. It's just like, you know, music, or maybe there's a perfume, a smell. It taps into your sensory memory. So, anyway, see, memory box is a great thing because you can put all those things in the box and then put it in the garage away from your closet. It clears things up for the things that you really are going to wear. And it is liberating. I mean, I see, again, the shift in energy that happens when people clear out stuff. The other thing that I find is people really can't see themselves. And no one really can. And even when you look in the mirror in certain clothes, people can't necessarily see what others are seeing. And so having somebody else there guiding them through, you know, what to get rid of, having them try things on, and then putting things on their body that does work and showing them the difference. Often I'll take pictures and do like a little before and after so they can actually see outside themselves. And it's amazing that like that light bulb that goes off, like that's not me. This has happened so many times. There's this guy that flew me to Denver because I love talking in stories too. He flew me to Denver to clear out his closet. He's like, no, you know what? I just lost a bunch of weight. I cleared out a couple things. I don't think you'll have to do much. And then we'll go shopping. I said, okay. Well, when I landed, I said, how will I know how to find you? He's like, well, I'm the guy in the big Hawaiian shirt. I'm like, oh, God, I had my work cut out for me. Sure enough, I get off the plane. I see the guy in the Hawaiian shirt with the acid wash jeans. I'm like, that's got to be him. It was. So he had way more work to do than he thought. And we kid about it now. And in fact, I even videotaped the whole thing. It's on my YouTube channel. And he was left, by the time I got through with him, he was left with one thing on the hanger. And it's the funniest thing. There's like this pile of clothes on his floor. He's like, Kim, you left me nothing to wear to go shopping. I'm like, well, I'll allow you to wear that one thing on the hanger and let's go shopping. But the point was, is when he was trying on the clothes, he truly didn't see how big the clothes were on him. I had to pinch a bunch of material in the back so that he saw how much weight he really did lose. And I see this happen all the time. People don't see their new bodies when they lose a lot of weight. So it's a really beautiful story because we went shopping. Mm-hmm. We got him a whole new wardrobe. He is doing so fantastic now that he is dating up a storm. His whole life changed, and people could not get over the transformation. Like, people would stop him in the streets, like, where did you get those outfits? And you look fabulous. And it was just such a confidence booster. And because of that, his life, his career, his love life, everything changed. And that truly is, you know, again, goes back to that magic that we were talking about before.
I love that story, Kim, and I cannot wait. I'm going to go check out your YouTube channel so I can see the transformation, because I've been in similar situations with clients before, but it is really so magical when you see how the way you radiate from the inside out really can change the way people perceive you. And some of that, it has to do with the outer shell and what you're wearing, and some of that has to do with how you're transforming in your mind and your body and your spirit. So I'm just so honored that you came on our show to share some of these stories and these insights. And I know people can get a lot more information from you at seltzerstyle.com. And that's spelled SELTZER style, STYLE.com. You're also on Twitter at Seltzer Kimberly. And I know you have a blog. You have so many other resources that are available to people on your website.
Yes,
tell us some more things.
Thank you. Yeah, that's probably the best way to get a hold of me is my website.
Okay, fantastic. And you can also get a hold of her if you sign up to attend the Modern Dating Summit. And she has a really cool free gift that she'll be giving if you sign up for the summit and watch the interview that I do with Kim. You'll get so much more information. This is just scratching the surface. There's so much more. We get a lot deeper into the conversation during the summit, and then she'll give you a little free gift that is to die for. So thank you so much for being here, Kimberly.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was super fun, as always.
As always. And you guys at home, make sure you go and sign up for moderndatingsummit.com. Again, that's moderndatingsummit.com. It starts June 1st, 1 week from today. So you don't want to miss out on any action-packed interviews. So go ahead and sign up today. It's totally free. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be doing our new Technically Dating segment with some questions from the Techspert app. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm Damona Hoffman, and I've been coaching singles on how to find love for over 10 years. Relationships, whether they start in a bar, on a dating site, or through friends, have developed much in the same way since I started in the love business. But one thing in particular has forever altered the way we communicate in relationships. Texting. With the rise of texting, I've seen many relationships made and many more relationships broken because we're communicating in a totally new way. If you're confused about what to say and how to say it over text, you need to watch my free training, The Texting Trap, Why Your Messages Made Your Date Disappear, at thetextingtrap.com. Don't spend another weekend wondering whether you'll hear from them ever again. See how to escape the texting trap once and for all. Know how to say just the right thing to your date to make them want more. This video training is free for Dates and Mates listeners at thetextingtrap.com.
It's me, Damona Hoffman, and it's time for Technically Dating.
Technically Dating.
Ray from the Techspert app couldn't be here this week, but he will be back in studio next week. In the meantime, however, he sent us a few real-life dating questions that have been heating up the Techspert app lately. And we're going to break it down for you today. I'm here with Producer Jay. Hey, Producer Jay.
Hi, it's me, Producer Jay.
Producer Jay. Ray passed the torch over to you to role play these questions. And these are real questions that have come in on the Techspert app. By the way, you can get it for free on in the Apple, what do you call it? The App Store.
The App Store.
What do you call it? App Store, yeah. Apple, yeah. if you have an iPhone. And basically, people just post their questions, and anybody, even you at home, can give your advice, and the best advice gets voted up, and the crappy advice gets voted down. And then people can do with all of the advice that they get what they wish, and then we will talk about it, as we're going to do right now.
All right. So let's see, do you want me to start with the first one?
Yeah, let's start with number one.
Number one. This is from a 19-year-old male, and he says, this girl I'm talking to, six dates, says she doesn't have sex with people unless she's exclusive. Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't like going exclusive unless we've had sex and we know what the sexual chemistry is like. Is she being unreasonable, or am I? How do I reconcile this?
I don't want to sound like an old lady, Producer Jay.
Be an old lady. It's all right.
He's 19?
Yeah.
How do you even know what sexual chemistry is?
They're getting started young. See, now I'm sounding like an old man.
No, but here's the thing, male 19. The thing is...
Not that you call them male 19. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The thing is that sexual chemistry really only builds with connection. And... he probably doesn't know this because he's male 19.
Because he's male 19.
But when you are in a relationship and you are with someone that you trust completely and can open up to completely, it is way better than all these fleeting relationships. I should do air quotes for that.
Right.
Excuse me for one moment. These fleeting relationships in air quotes. And... so I'm with the girl on this, and especially at this age, like I generally find in adult relationships around six dates is when my clients tend to feel like they've gotten to know someone, like they can have a mature conversation about sex, because this is the real deal. Whether you're male 19 or male 45, if you cannot have a serious conversation about sex and the consequences thereof, you're not ready to have sex with that person, period. Like, if you can't talk about STDs or wearing protection or what happens if she gets pregnant or all that, you ain't ready, okay? So I applaud this girl for waiting until she's exclusive with someone. And I wouldn't say you're crazy, male 19, but I don't think you really know sexual chemistry if you have not waited until you're in a relationship with someone to have sex.
Yeah.
Producer Jay's going to say something completely different.
No. We on the same page on this one.
Were you going to say they should wait for life?
I was going to say, yeah. I'm like, wait longer. Wait, because you still don't know nothing about nothing. But like, yeah, this whole concept of, just him thinking that she might be being unreasonable about, like, for real, like, you still wet behind the ears, as we like to say in the Midwest or in the South. Like,
let's be real, you don't even know what you're doing.
Like, you have no idea. Ollie is like,
you don't know what to do with that.
He's just
thing.
Like, does it feel good to me? That sexual chemistry, you know, like, or is she doing all the things that I want her to do? And like, he doesn't even grasp the concept of what that is. I'm making the assumption, but I think it's a good assumption based off of how this is written, because it clearly shows that he doesn't really know much about anything.
Okay, so male 19, I would say it's not that she's being unreasonable. It's not that you are being unreasonable. It's that I invite you to have a different experience this time around. And trust me, if you wait and you guys really have some chemistry and commitment and connection to each other, oh my God, it's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
You're not even going to know what happened to you.
Male 30-something to male 19, you don't know nothing. And you being unreasonable, calm yourself down and just go for the ride for a second.
Well, you heard it here. Right. Technically dating. All right, Producer Jay, what else we got in the Textpert app vault?
Female 21, my ex texted me, I miss you, I guess, whatever this face is, an emoji.
Crying
of some
emoji.
Sort.
It's a crying emoji.
It's like
emoji.
He's sweating. But anyway, we broke.
I
miss you, sweat. We broke up a year ago and we haven't spoken since. I don't really know how to respond. I need a great response line. P.S. I'm definitely not interested in getting back with him. It's just payback time. Crying smiley face. He, he, he. What is that about?
She's crying because she's so happy about the payback. It's happy cry?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay. why do you have to do payback? I mean, I want to give her a line. Maybe Ray next week can tell us what some of the lines were that people gave her. But I would say the biggest payback is just to not respond.
Just do well just in your respond. Life.
Like, just don't respond.
Yeah.
Say, that's nice. I wish you well. Yeah, and do well in your life. That's going to hurt him more than any line that you can text to him. Female 21. Where are the old people on text?
I'm telling you, like, I'm feeling real old right now. I'm like, first of all, I don't know how to interpret the emojis. Second of all, it's like, what, you know, but I get this. Like, a lot of people, I think, especially in that age range in the 21, are wanting that opportunity of, like, getting you back or making you feel like a fraction of what you made them feel or more. And so she thinks that that's, you know, what's appropriate, but doesn't realize it's just like, don't waste your energy. You know, like, that takes a lot to try to get back at a person, too much mental space, and kind of prohibits you from being able to move forward. So do you, boo.
Or you can text him back. I'm sorry, who is this? I don't have this number in my phone.
Okay, that's good.
Vote me up on that one. Vote me up on text.
Right, if she does that one, I'm going to be like, yeah, that's a good one.
All right. All right. We have one more question from female 23. What is she saying, Producer Jay?
All right. Female 23 says, 2 months ago, my live-in boyfriend of a year and a half broke up with me and I was devastated. 1 month ago, we started texting again and hooking up. Last week, he said he can't do this anymore, but the way he looks at me and talks to me makes me think he still loves me. Then yesterday, he texted me, hey, what's up? Miss you. What do I do?
But no emojis.
But no emojis.
No crying face.
No crying faces. No sweating.
No spitting faces. No. I spit laughed. Is that a thing?
You did a spit take. No.
Pretty much. Yeah, that is a thing. Female 23. I think that he probably does miss you. And he probably does still love you. That doesn't mean that you're right for each other or that this relationship is one that you should continue to make an investment in, however. And there's a reason that you broke up. And I'm so glad that we got this question just to illustrate what a slippery slope texting can be. Because it started with the month ago, they started texting again. Then they started hooking up. And then now it's too much for him. But so he's going to pull back. But now he's having complicated feelings. And look, breakups are hard. Breakups are hard. And they're it's like Greg Behrendt in Amira said, it's called a breakup because it's broken. Mm-hmm. That's one of their books. And I would just remind yourself that, female 23, there's a reason that you broke up. And you have to really evaluate a relationship that started when you were maybe 21, maybe is not the relationship that serves your ultimate needs. So this is a really good time for you to think about what you want in a relationship and how you want to be treated and who you want to spend your time with. And there's a good chance that the answer is going to be not with this person. So ultimately, it doesn't really matter if he says he misses you and he still loves you if you find that you are not good for one another. So first, you got to do that inner work. Maybe clear out your closet or something first. Do that inner work. Figure out what you want and then figure out a sensitive way to communicate that to your ex-man. Producer Jay?
No, I think you're definitely on point, as you usually are. But it's just this, I don't know. I mean, I don't know for sure if they are actually in love or anything like that, because it kind of seems like it's more of a codependence a little bit. Just from, you know, like from this, I think people get into this whole rhythm and they get used to each other. And then their lives kind of, like, when they make drastic changes, they're like, oh, now I have to cope with these new decisions and do all this other stuff. And they want to kind of fall back into their old routine because that's the familiar and that's what's comfortable and that's what's known. But obviously, there are clarifications that need to be made in the relationship, because they seem a little flip-floppy. I mean, but there is information that we don't know from here that's probably useful in figuring it out. But I think you're correct that they will probably move on from each other, but not. So just don't get into that little convoluted slippery slope that's there, I think.
Aside from the texting convoluted slippery slope, really, I just have to reiterate, I've told people this before, but moving in together is a big deal. And I feel like in modern dating, people are taking it so lightly. And it really complicates the relationship in a way that you don't need when you're in that early phase. So I don't know. They lived together for a year and a half, but who knows how long they were together before. She's 23, so couldn't be that long. So I often find that I have to tell people to have that conversation that I told female 23 to have with her own self and figure out what she wants. You've got to do that before you move in together.
Right.
It's become that moving in together is just the next logical phase as our relationship progresses and we get to know each other better and we've been together a year, then okay, we should move in together.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes with a lot less time. I had one client tell me, this woman offered him a key to his place after 1 week, to her place after 1 week.
No.
1 week of knowing. And she said the reasoning was because he travels a lot. So she's like, you might want to come in when I'm not there. They both travel. Or you might want to come in and feed my cats for me.
Oh.
I was like, that sounds real convenient.
Right.
So he needs a place to stay because he's sort of bi-coastal.
And she needs a housekeeper.
She needs, yeah, someone to feed her cat. But still, a week?
Yeah.
That's a lot of trust to offer. And I mean, I know he's trustworthy, but she don't know him.
Right. I don't know. People get too common too quickly.
That's what you always say.
Yeah.
Slow it down, female 23. Slow it down. Figure out what you want. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be here again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on UBN Radio. And we will also be next Wednesday launching the Decoding Your Modern Dating Dilemmas Summit. I keep wanting to say Super Summit. Can we say
it's kind of a Super Summit?
It is a Super Summit. We have 18 dating experts that are joining me in intimate, informative interviews about how to navigate all of these modern dating dilemmas that we were just talking about in technically dating and that I'm sure you're dealing with at home if you're single and looking for love in today's world. So join us. It's free. You can join from anywhere in the world on your schedule. All you do is go to moderndatingsummit.com and you can sign up there absolutely free. Again, it's moderndatingsummit.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you again next Wednesday. And until then, happy dating.